to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Everyone, here we go with your final Survivor Series report. It is right around the corner. This Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve, exclusively on pay-per-view cable television. Folks, I'm talking about the Survivor Series. This is the ultimate in team competition and so much more. I strongly suggest you pick up the blower right now. Get on the phone and contact your local cable company. Avoid busy operators at the 11th hour. Now then, we have just heard from the World Wrestling Federation champion Hulk Hogan. It sounds to me like he is ready for his gravest challenge. That gravest challenge, by the way, is standing by right now with his manager, Paul Bearer. Let's hear from The Undertaker.
Oh, the sands in our hourglass are going quickly. This Wednesday, Hulk Hogan, your gravest challenge, the championship on the line against my Undertaker. It won't be long. Think back when you visited my funeral parlor and my Undertaker appeared out of nowhere. This time, Hulk Hogan, we're going to walk away, oh yes, with your title.
The time is at hand, Hogan. There's no place to run. There's no place to hide. No heroes with chairs. And no crucifixes. Just the Undertaker's purgatory.
The Undertaker, ominous, awesome, and undefeated thus far here on the World Wrestling Federation. Undoubtedly, the gravest challenge this Wednesday night for Hulk Hogan at the Survivor Series. By the way, in team competition, Sid Justice is out. That means the Legion of Doom, Hawk and Animal, and the Big Boss Man will have to continue on this Wednesday night to face Captain Jake the Snake Roberts, the Natural Disasters, and IRS. You have heard the pleas, folks, over the past few weeks to President Jack Tunney to reinstate the Macho Man. The latest coming just moments ago from Elizabeth. Maybe something is going to be settled before we go off the air this week. And on that subject, standing by right now, the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions, the Legion of Doom, and the Big Boss Man.
Hawk, Animal, what do you say this Wednesday night after we get through kicking these four pieces of trash's butt? After we get through making sure that these four pieces of trash serve hard time, we lock them up, we carry them downtown, we throw them in a nice dirty cell, and leave them there to rot with the rats.
That sounds good to us. But first things first, Jack Tunney, we want to know, are you going to let Randy Savage be our partner this Wednesday night or not? Because it don't matter to us, but we just want to know. Tell him, Hawk.
Hey, let's talk about teeth today. Let's talk about the Natural Disasters, Jake the Snake, and the IRS. Let's talk about knocking their teeth right down their throats, all the way out of their sphincters. Let's not just talk about it. By golly,
yeah.
Let's just do it.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, we are hoping to hear something before this hour has concluded regarding the reinstatement of the Macho Man for this Wednesday night at the Survivor Series. By the way, folks, Captain Rowdy Roddy Piper is going to be joined by Intercontinental Champion Bret the Hitman Hart, the Million Dollar Champion Virgil, and the British Bulldog to meet Captain, the self-proclaimed Real World Champion Ric Flair, Ted DiBiase, the Warlord, and the Mountie in team competition. Now, we've heard that there may be some startling news coming from the Ric Flair camp. As a matter of fact, Ric Flair and company are standing by right now with comments.
It's hard to believe when you're on top of the world that things could get
any better. But guess what? My new executive consultant has told me that from now on, everything will be perfect.
Yeah. Woo! Just like everything else in my life. I'm here for one reason, to make sure everything remains perfect.
And what it all boils down to this Wednesday night is survival. Survival of the fittest. And you're looking at the largest group of survivors you've ever seen. The class of the railroad champion. The strength of the warlord. The law and order of the Mountie. The money of the million-dollar man. Everything will truly be perfect.
There had been a rumor that Ric Flair was going to add to his staff. And now that we've heard it, he's obviously making sure that he and his teammates will survive the Survivor Series this Wednesday night. And by the way, folks, you can see it exclusively on pay-per-view cable television. Make that all-important telephone call right now. As of last week, you know that Jim the Anvil Neidhart is out of the Survivor Series. That means Hacksaw Jim Duggan will be teaming up with the Texas Tornado and the Matador to face a team comprised of Skinner, Colonel Mustafa, the Bully, and the Berserker. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe we're going to find out later this weekend on the Survivor Series Showdown who Hacksaw Jim Duggan will be choosing to replace Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Right now, there are rumors afloat that it may be Sergeant Slaughter. As we say here in the World Wrestling Federation, stay tuned. There is more action at the Survivor Series this Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve. The Rockers and the Bushwhackers to meet the Beverly Brothers and the Nasty Boys. And ladies and gentlemen, yes, you can see it all on pay-per-view cable television. Don't wait till the 11th hour. Don't wait till later on in the week. Get on the phone right now and avoid the busy operators. Call to make plans to join us for the best ringside seat in your house for the big one this Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve. Get ready for the Survivor Series.
My Unconventional Life, Stranger in a Southern Land, Inconclusive Breakdown, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Neckbreaker, and The Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Every time you look at a pair of scissors, do you think of Psycho Sid and Arn Anderson? We do. So listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, the Impact Player.
His opponent, soon to be making his way to the ring area, hailing from Charlotte, North Carolina, all right, all right. Weighing 241 pounds.
Just keep your mind on the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Get ready for another action-packed, turnbuckle throwbacks wrestling podcast with your hosts, the Impact player Phil Rea.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and well, not children because we use potty mouth. We are your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. We be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea, and I am joined once again in the studio by my good friend and pal, my commandant,
the Portuguese Man of War, Choppy.
Hello. All right, and we're live. We are live.
Live.
That's right. We're live. Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. We are live on Ustream. Hello, everybody on Ustream, if you're watching. And we're live on the RantEMRadio.com, the mothership, if you will. We're watching some Dusty promos today on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
He said, "I am the sausage maker, the buddy. The buddy sausage maker." I love that. Well. What a tangled web we weave. Now, let's talk. I mean, let's get the fucking elephant out of the room. We got a new president.
Yippee fucking Skippy.
Yeah, yippee Skippy. I know a lot of people who did not vote, and my issue for the last 10 years, 12 years, was not a lot of people voted. 40% of 300 million people did not vote. That's a fact. Now I think it's up to 44%. 44% of 300 million people is a lot of fucking people, Choppy.
It is a lot. And you're probably going to hate me for this because I was one of those.
Right. I don't hate anybody, dude. I see a lot of social media warriors talking a lot of nonsense the last couple of months. People who don't vote, and I tell them if you didn't vote last time, or I'm not gonna have a long winded conversation with people who didn't vote. You know, you included. I'm not gonna entertain it because I feel like people who you don't complain. I'm just saying people who don't vote and complain. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, I try not to complain because it's really not worth it. I mean, if I didn't vote, I don't have the right to complain. It's not worth it.
Right, and I feel like there's this huge disconnect with social media. I mean, I'm seeing friendships, 20-year friendships fall apart.
That's so stupid.
I know, man. It's ridiculous. So we have a new president, and it is what it is. I can't really get so upset over something that I have no control over. I voted. I had my say. Whether it worked out or didn't work out, it doesn't make a difference. The difference is, a lot of people did vote this year.
It was a really big turnout.
That race, I got home that night around middle of the fucking voting, and it was like Game 7 of the World Series all over again. I was like, holy shit, man, this is great. Like, you know, Trump was winning in places that Obama dominated the last couple of years, and like, he was taking the swing states. He took Pennsylvania. He took fucking Wisconsin. He took Florida. I was like, whoa, like, this is the real deal, man.
When I found out that he took Florida, I was like, it's a done deal.
I told my wife that if he took Florida and Pennsylvania, it was a wrap.
It's over.
You know, with the electoral votes, I'm going to get into that bullshit. You know, we're not a political podcast. We do have to acknowledge that we have a new we have a new president.
Of course. I mean, we can't just, like, ignore the fact that we have Trump as a president, which, I mean, this whole election was just another episode of The Apprentice. It was just, who cares, you know?
The last time the Republicans had this much power was 1928, and you know what happened a year after that, you know, the Great Depression. So,
of course,
I'm not saying, I'm not comparing this to the Great Depression. I'm not going to compare him to a fucking Nazi, to a tyrant. I mean, people are just going off. And you said something pre-production. You said, you know, we're going to be all right.
We're going to be fine. You know, this whole time that he's been promoting, like, oh, building a wall to block Mexico, and then he said he was gonna, he called Canada the Snow Mexicans, and I was just like, dude, he's just trying to create buzz for himself, but he's not gonna do anything that he said.
Right, and the bottom line is that, you know, we are the richest and strongest country in the world. However, we don't act like it all the time. This might be something that, I don't know, I'm trying to be positive about it, you know, and I think if we, if more people voted, and it starts with us, you get local, you push these guys up to the House, to the Senate, to the House, and, you know, if people start getting involved locally and pushing the right people into office, I think it'll be a bit better.
I don't agree with the whole voting process with the presidency, but I do agree with the voting process over here with the local government, because if you vote for your local aldermans, all your local politicians over here, wherever you live, I believe it's they fight for the little guy.
Yeah.
And it's a good cause.
Yeah. You know what, too? And I can honestly tell you that as a registered independent since 1992, you know, I'm screwed because I can't pick who I want to run in the primaries, you know, so I have to, when these fucking yahoos give me these shit candidates, I'm like, oh, like people are like, I'm not voting for the lesser of two evils, and people write, I mean, Don Tony got 17,000 votes for Chuck Schumer's spot. People wrote Don Tony's name in there.
What?
Yeah.
That's great.
I almost did, but I wrote it for Chuck Schumer because I, you know, Chuck's done some good things locally. For first responders, and you know, he's done some good stuff here in the city, and not everything he does is great, but there's a thing with me with spirituality now playing a big part of my life, like my faith, refining my faith and focusing on family and things that are more important. You know, as you get older, you tend to you're going to see things different. You're going to do this too. You're going to see a lot of shit differently than what you see it now. Even in 5 years, it's going to fucking, your mind is blown. And if you become a parent, it's going to be another fucking stratosphere, if you will. I think that this new fucking generation of millennials that are, like, clogging up the streets of Florida and California, more importantly here, fucking my commute up. Like, really, guys? A cop didn't get shot. There was no racism going on. You're protesting the election. It wasn't rigged. It wasn't. It's what the country wanted, man. So do me a favor, man. Think about the fucking guy who works 10 hours a day, travels 26 miles to work, and then travels 4 hours to and from work every day for 4 and now 5 days a week. And now I have to fucking get inundated with this nonsense with these jerk-offs marching from Union Square all the way to fucking Fifth Avenue, which is in my direct route, my direct fucking bus route, where I told you today I had to go across town to the west side and get a bus and go through New Jersey to come home to Staten Island.
And you know what? And we can't do anything about it. Why? Freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And what sucks is for you, I'm in the same boat as you because I have a fucking horrible commute as well. And for these jerk-offs to fuck up my commute to go home, it pisses me off.
Right.
It aggravates me.
It does.
And it's not fair to other people. Just because you're butt hurt that your candidate didn't win. That's what's wrong with this PC generation. These fucking millennials. I'm a millennial, but I feel like I have more of a sense of, you know, I feel like I have more clarity when it comes to situations like this.
See, I want to, you know, another time, maybe when we do a round table, if you're around, I want to pick your brain. Because I try to figure out this new fucking generation of people, like this sense of entitlement. People get handed shit.
And it shouldn't be like that.
It really shouldn't. And I'm not saying if you deserve a handout, if you're down on your luck, of course you deserve it. If you need it, of course you'll get it. And this country gives it to everybody. And that's the way it is. America was built on fucking immigrants. And it was built on you know, land of the free, home of the brave, and we'll help everybody. And that's how it is. You can agree with it. You can disagree with it. It's what it is. Help your fellow man. You know, however, it's not sit home and get shit handed to you.
Yeah.
That's what pisses me off, where I've been working since I'm 12 years old, and I have a negative balance in my bank account right now. You know, and I'm not complaining. Excuse me, I'm drinking fucking IPAs here with Choppy. I'm not complaining, and thank you for bringing pizza. Mm-hmm. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying that it's when the little man is out there working it and hustling on the grind, it's kind of pathetic that these fucking people, these millennials, these kids,
these fucking hipsters,
they, you know, listen, man, life ain't that bad.
It's really not.
If you work for something, as you know, long enough, you'll get it. You know, it's the American dream. I'm living it right now. I'm 30 years in debt. I'm a fucking homeowner, dude. And I just listen, and I won't be. We're not gonna get on. We'll get off this soon. I'm just. All I'm saying is that listen, we have 4 more years, at least 4 years, of something else. President Obama, you know, came into a shit show. He implicated some things, and he set some things good. I mean, of course, he killed the healthcare thing, but in the same breath, he put more jobs out there, and he also. The deficit, and we're always going to be in debt anyway. Like, that's not going to be, you know, they even gave him 4 more years to try to clean it up. You can't clean that up. You know, the dude was a smart dude, you know.
I honestly think that even if McCain had won that election back in 2008, it was going to be a complete shit show for him as well, because he was trying to fix the mess that Bush did. And now, I mean, what's the worst that can happen with Trump? He's probably going to do a little bit better than Obama. Who knows?
He's a smart dude. He is. And he's going to surround himself with fucking genius politicians. Because he's not taking a paycheck, by the way.
He's not. You know who's joining him?
No.
Our former mayor, Rudy Giuliani.
That bothers me, because that dude's a fucking crook. Okay?
A lot of people like him, though.
I know. He's a bag of douche. He tried to run for president after 9/11. He was going to run for president. And half the country's like, who the fuck are you? And that's... I have a beef. We wrote songs about Giuliani. The greatest thing about this whole scenario is that I'm going to get more fucking cool songs from the punk and hardcore bands.
Yeah.
Okay? We may even see a raise in the economy. We're going to see some things that we're probably not used to in a long time. But the change really starts with us. And whoever listens to this knows that I say this every week. Take care of yourselves, each other. And that's not just a Jerry Springer thing. It's a Phil thing. Because I think it's important that we take care of each other. Because it's what we have. It's we're put here for a purpose. Everybody's put here for a purpose. And whether you don't have to be spiritual to believe that. But everybody's here for a purpose. My purpose is, you know, my job. And my purpose is, you know, feeding the masses with my bullshit. You know, that's my place right now. And maybe it'll be different next year or 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It doesn't matter. You control your own destiny. You know, you set the table. You clean it up. And that's how it is. Don't fucking cry about it. Don't gloat about it. Pick yourself up. Pull your pants up. You know... Let me use the cliches. Buckle your boots and all that other nonsense. And get it cracking, man. And it's not... You can do good things no matter who's in office. It's how you approach it, you know? I can't tell you any better than that. You know what I'm saying? I can't... What else is there to do? We people... And I just see relationships falling apart on social media, and it breaks my heart.
All over this fucking election.
Yeah, it's like...
Chill the fuck out.
Oh, and a lot of people voted for character. Like, I know people, like, I can't vote for Trump. He's not a good person.
Vote for policies, people, not for character.
So, and that's the thing, and that's an argument. That was another argument, policies and character.
Really?
Oh, dude, you look at your timeline. Well, I have a lot of friends and family, but look at your timeline. I had to unfollow about 300 people.
That many?
Yeah.
What?
Not unfriend, unfollow. Because my timeline was fucking flooded with bullshit propaganda. The media. Public Enemy sang about it. Don't believe the hype. It's a sequel. As an eagle, can I get this through to you? The fucking lyrics are 30 years old, but it's true.
It's true.
Don't believe the hype. It's don't believe the hype, and people just drink the fucking proverbial Kool-Aid, and they get sucked into, well, they're posting articles like, where are you getting your information from? You know, like, oh, my health care, my friend's wife is crying on social media. Oh, my health care got doubled, and now I have to do this, and thanks, Obama. Obama had nothing to do with your husband's company that upped their prices. It may have had a domino effect from companies not getting involved with Obamacare, but don't blame Obama because your husband works for a company that's going to double the fucking, you know, it's just stupid. Like, and then like my wife gets so upset, and now she finds herself getting involved. Now she's cutting her Facebook off because like, what are you doing? Like, don't argue with these people. And my wife's kind of an elitist. She's a very smart person. And I had a talk with her the other night. I'm like, you know, you're not in this spot. With you. Like, my friends are saying all this stupid shit. I'm like, but they're still your friends. You didn't pick your friends because of their fucking political affiliation.
Correct.
And that's where the bottom line is. That's where you have to sit. Listen, you and I don't have to have the same political values. You know, but friendships are made on, hey, I need this, I need you, or can you help me, or you're my friend and I back you, whatever you do. I'll back you whatever you do, 110%, because you're my friend, your family. Like, that's the point I'm trying to get across. And I have a lot of friends who are Republicans. Give a fuck. And I have a lot of friends who are Democrats. And they probably will never see each other eye to eye ever on any of these issues. Education, the economy, healthcare, foreign policy, which is my big thing. Foreign policy and education, like, my biggest fucking pet peeves. You don't know until, I mean, everybody's a fucking expert now. Same thing with wrestling. All these Marxists, they're all geniuses now.
Oh, yeah.
You know? No one's a genius, okay? Just be nice to people, man. I'll say it again at the end of the show. Just be fucking nice to people. Like, come on, man. Don't abuse people because of their political affiliation. You didn't know what they were voting for 4 years ago, you know? You didn't know unless they told you, you know?
And it just aggravates me when I see videos online where people are getting their ass kicked.
That's another thing.
For voting for Trump or Hillary. What the fuck is wrong with you people?
And the protests piss me off because they kill my commute. Like, now instead of 2 hours, it takes me 4 hours. I could drive to another state in 4 hours.
Which is bullshit.
Right. So I'd say, guys, if you're listening, go to fucking City Hall, get a permit, and do it the right way. Don't fucking flood the streets. Get your fucking mob. Make your signs. You want to go, man. Just don't fucking lay on the street. The fucking 495 in Miami, AA posted a picture of the fucking highway today. Stupid. California, too. Like, guys, what are you doing, man? These are people have to, your lives have to carry on. People have to work and support their families and do their thing. You're killing me with this nonsense. Just take care of each other. Go fucking take care of it the right way. Stop crying. It's not that... Life ain't that bad, you know? I don't know. I'm done with the rant. You got anything else about that?
Nope.
Okay, good. So, like I said, I'll say more at the end of the show. But, all right. A little wrestling news. I did watch about 10 minutes of Raw on Monday. I got to be honest with you. I didn't watch any wrestling this week. I did read about the cruiserweight thing in the Survivor Series,
which is pretty much what's going to happen is there's going to be a cruiserweight title match where it's going to be Brian Kendrick versus what's his name, Kalisto.
Kalisto, yeah, yeah.
And if Kalisto wins, he gets the strap, and then the cruiserweight division moves over to SmackDown.
Yep.
And then that's some kind of like storyline deal that Daniel Bryan is doing with Mick Foley right now. So I think it's gonna be pretty cool.
Yeah, and I heard Shane McMahon is on Team SmackDown.
Yes, that's also going on right now. I feel like it's the invasion angle all over again.
I tell you, well, we'll be here for Survivor Series, and we'll have coverage on the rant as well. So don't forget that, and we'll all be here for Survivor Series too, kicking it. So, I'm not happy with Shane McMahon being in the match. He can wrestle. I mean, he could go. The guy's...
Oh, yeah, he's very good.
He's a fucking stuntman, you know, but... I think you're right. This whole invasion angle thing, it's just another way to, you know, fucking squeeze somebody else in. It's... I don't know.
I mean, the whole... I don't even know if it's legit, though, but Baron Corbin supposedly was injured. Legit, and that's why they put Shane McMahon in there, which I don't know if it's true or not.
Was he injured getting new hair plugs?
Maybe. Who knows?
Money Grip needs a new fucking hairdo, man.
Oh, dude, he's terrible.
He's... You know what? My kid has a Baron Corbin shirt. So when he got the shirt, I asked him why. And he was straight up honest with me. He goes, I liked him on NXT. I said, okay. He goes, I don't like him on fucking Raw. And I said, okay, I can respect that. I said, I think he's lazy. I don't think he's terrible. There's a difference between being lazy and being terrible. If you think he's terrible, it's fine. I mean, that's your opinion. But I think he's lazy to the point where I know I've seen him in better matches. And he's in, almost at ECW, in NXT, which I'll be at next week, by the way, with the rest of the TakeOver crew. You're not gonna be around for that, but we'll be at the, and I think Rob posted the main event. It's like a 6-man tag or something like that. But there's like, I know there's better in him. Like, the guy busted his ass to get a fucking roster spot. He did. Like, he did.
Okay. This is my thing on Baron Corbin. He is not a bad wrestler, considering the fact that he's a former football player. My biggest problem with him is his mic skills and the fact that he looks like a fucking baby, even though he's promoted as a monster. And he just hasn't transitioned well on SmackDown. I think he should have gone to Raw. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
No, it's your opinion, brother. I mean, it's... I think he falls under that category of, you know, I think he just exhausted all of his talent. Like, he busted his ass to get to that fucking pinnacle. He came up and he's like, ah. And it's not like they're not throwing him, just, they're throwing him good matches.
Yeah.
They're throwing him good matches. So I don't know where the disconnect is.
I just think that creative doesn't know what to do with him right now. I mean, they tried things with Kalisto, they tried...
So is he bad, or creative has nothing for him? Or is it both?
I think it's both.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's... Like I said, from what he used to be to what he is now, he's not bad.
Okay.
It's just that his character. And I heard he's a big bag of douche behind the scenes anyways.
Well, if you have a bad attitude, then that may... You know, politically, that's gonna kill you, you know?
You know who's my new favorite right now?
Uh-oh.
Braun Strowman. I love that man.
They kind of repackaged him. He's not really a Wyatt anymore, per se.
He's not, but I think every week he's getting more and more comfortable on the mic or just talking.
If he can polish that, and he looks the part, obviously. You know, he's a big shit brick shit house. Is that how they say it?
I think you had it right.
Yeah. He's massive, and I love the big man anyway. So
remember what you texted me that night when he first debuted, and you were like, "Dude, look at the size of him." I was like,
"Yeah,
no, look."
He
at
looks
him.
Like fucking the dude from what did I tell you? He looked like the dude from
the Nerds.
The Nerds, yeah. And he was also on what's that movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Oh, the kickboxer movie,
Kumite.
Kumite, that's what it was.
Bloodsport.
I think it was Bloodsport. You're right.
Yeah, and he was in that movie too. He looks like a fucking jacked up fucking dude from there.
Dude, he looks like he has retard strength, bro.
He's
a monster.
He's gonna be in the Kumite.
I love this man. He's so good.
Yeah, he's massive, dude.
That's gonna be our new. I don't know if he's gonna be our next Undertaker, but he's a big man. We need more big guys.
I heard Undertaker's coming back for the SmackDown.
Why?
Good segue, by the way.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know why.
If they think that Undertaker is going to boost the ratings, it's not going to happen. It's not.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I don't know. He showed up at a Cavaliers game a couple weeks ago, and everybody's like you know, the Cavaliers opening night against the Knicks. They get the rings and stuff. It's a big night for Cleveland. The Indians were in the World Series, and Undertaker shows up. Like, it's
in full character, mind you.
Like, I could see if he was a Cleveland native, you exactly. know, and he tombstones Drew Carey in the fucking bathroom, you know, but it's like The Miz was better off going there, you know?
Correct. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I'm over The Undertaker. Well, not tonight, because we have fucking... He was awesome in 1991,
oh, by that's, the way. Yeah, but if you're talking like 20 years ago, he was great.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was awesome. I just... It's like beating a dead horse, and I see what they're trying to do with him. He's got the best schedule in the world. He'll always be over at this point. He's not like... And the hardcore fans are like, oh, let it go. He's awful. But everybody else will drink the Kool-Aid. They'll take it.
What we're trying to say is we're not disputing the fact that he's one of the greatest of all time. I mean, like, he's in the same line as like a Hogan or a Flair and an Austin and The Rock, because he is. He's pretty much part of that Mount Rushmore of wrestling.
He's on your Mount Rushmore. He ain't on mine.
I know he's not on yours, but I know a lot of people love the man, because for a guy his size to move the way he moves is a big deal. I just think that over the past 10 years, I think he was way past his prime 10 years ago. And I think he should have been done a long time ago.
This reminds me of the baseball player who, you know, he gets signed for these teams in like late in his career. You know, he's like, he comes up for the pinch hit. He plays the field, you know, like he was a DH or whatever. And he just doesn't, he doesn't want to quit yet. You know, he doesn't want to go. He's, you know. And the league's like, oh, no, he's an attraction. That's the thing. He's like, you know, he's like that.
But he's not Andre the Giant.
He's not Andre the Giant. He's the modern-day Andre the Giant. And if you think of it, if you're going to look at it like that, if you're going to embrace him as an attraction, he is definitely the modern-day Andre the Giant. Because he shows up, does his thing, goes home. Where Andre did it more frequently, even when he was on his way out, Andre was involved. Andre was a tag team champion up until he died. So
with Haku, right?
Yeah, Colossal Connection. He wasn't as agile as he was. He didn't wrestle very often. He let his partners do. You know, his partner do his thing. But
I mean, when Andre was young, he was an athlete, bro.
So was Undertaker. Yeah. So was Undertaker.
So as the years progress, you can't keep on going. You got to keep in mind he's 6'10". He weighs about 300 pounds. A guy his size.
And he's 50 years old.
And he's that's another thing. He's 50. Not, actually, is he 50 or 51?
Something like that. I know he's got some new hardware, too. I think he's got like a new hip or something.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I'm over it. I really am. I'm over it.
And there's also talks of them wanting to bring back Hogan. I don't want to see Hulk Hogan again.
Hogan's not going to wrestle.
He's not.
That's right. Fine. I have no issue with that. I have no issue with him cutting the promos and doing the brother and being back on the network. And I hate Hulk Hogan. But Hulk Hogan's good for wrestling. He always was. As a heel, he was a monster. I never liked him as a performer, you know. But I respect what he did. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't even have any of this shit. I don't think we even have wrestling podcasts.
Probably not.
He set the tone, but, you know, a lot of people agree with you, though. I've read a lot of very negative feedback when apparently his daughter kind of hinted somewhere publicly that they were gonna take him back. But like I said, with the network, he's got a ton of fucking shows that he can be on. He could be on the round tables. He could be on the Dinner for Three. He could be on the what's that Rivalries gimmick they got going on.
If they just keep him on the network, I'm okay with it. But I just don't want to see him on TV anymore.
Yeah, I could deal with that. No, I agree, man. I totally agree with that.
I'm not 9 years old. I don't want it. I mean, even the kids that were my age at 9 or 8 years old, they don't know who the fuck this old man is.
Well, the network will
help that. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, if you, anybody who wants to do homework, and I've given people tons of homework, you included, you know, you want to do homework, get on the network and get watching. There's a lot of stuff you can catch up on. So
my thing I'm catching up right now is the NWA. That's all I care about right now.
Yeah, we got some stuff we're going to talk about. We'll make the announcement next month when we do. Here's the deal with the shows. So we're taking the rest of the month off because I have some family obligations, and it's Thanksgiving. And then after that, we have wrestling to go to that weekend. So we'll be back December, I want to say the 9th, I think it is.
Something like that, yep.
Yeah, so we're going to do the continuation of this tonight. And then we have three episodes in a row. The 9th, whatever that middle week is, and then the 23rd, which is the Christmas show.
Yep.
And that's going to be the end of Turnbuckle Throwbacks for the rest of the year. And then we're going to... I want to come back next year. There's, you know, I miss doing this all the time. I have so much going on right now that I'm kind of juggling both, and I like it. And I'm in this transition of, you know, not having a regular co-host yet, and I have material I want to do, and I want to get involved in other projects that I have no time for. But for people who've been asking, and I have a lot of people asking me, I'm just leaning towards coming back. And it's probably going to happen. Like 75-80% is going to happen. 20%, something bad would have to happen to me between now and December 23rd. And I don't see that happening if I just keep my head out of trouble and and be good about it.
Just, you know, keep it cool, and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're going to keep it cool. But we have a good show tonight. I don't think there's any other wrestling news. I have...
I saw something today. I don't know if it's legit or not, but they were doing the European tour right now.
Okay.
And apparently they pulled Roman Reigns off the tour.
Is he hurt, or he just pulled him off? Or?
They don't know. I heard rumors that it might have been a drug thing again.
Oh, no.
That's what I heard.
Well, this would be his second shot, right?
I believe so.
Oof.
I hope not.
And I heard there was a kind of a talk about a Shield reunion by the Rumble.
They should have broke him up to begin with. They broke him up way too early.
Yeah.
They should have kept having feud with the Wyatts for like at least 6 more months. But if they're talking about Bryn doing it, then, you know, do it. See what happens. Who knows?
I like the Shield. I was a big fan of the Shield.
So me too. I love them.
And I don't dislike Roman Reigns like everybody else does.
I don't either.
You know, so, you know, for me, for them, I think it's just the booking with him. I don't think he's terrible on the mic. He is, but...
He's actually not.
He's not that. He's not as bad as he was, and that's the thing too. It's like not everybody's gonna come out there and knock it out of the park. Like even regular guys mess up. You know, look at the last promo that Paul Heyman did. Like,
yeah.
Paulie was like a mess. He was all over the place. Vince, they pulled him out. They were like, the fans commandeered the segment. Paulie was off his game. And it didn't go over well. And he's the best talker on the planet. So they have to give this guy a break. I like him in this U.S. champion role, I'll tell you that.
I think they should have made him U.S. champion first before they gave him the damn world title.
Well, I agree with that. But his boy Ambrose was the champion for a minute.
Exactly.
His boy Ambrose, I think, had that belt for a year and defended it twice.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
It's bullshit. The belts don't mean anything anymore like they used to.
Oh, I got one more thing to ask you. What are your thoughts on this possible... I think I might have asked you this before, but I don't remember what was your answer. The possibility of a secondary title in NXT, the NXT TV title.
You see, I like a TV title. Well, you know I like TV titles.
So why?
It's my favorite belt ever. TV television title is my favorite belt ever.
Great drama for matches, that's for sure.
Right, it was. And amazing people held it. So, from Dusty Rhodes to Tully Blanchard to...
I believe Jake the Snake wore it in Georgia.
I think so. He wore it. I know Mike Rotundo had it. Rick Steiner had it.
Yep.
Sting had it.
Sting.
Oh, wait.
Sting.
Yeah, man. What's up?
Sting.
Thank you.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, you can have Triple H.
Sting!
Great. I was missing those sound clips.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, to have a secondary belt, if it's gonna tell good stories, then I don't mind.
Give it to Roddy. Roddy Strong. Give that the belt to Roddy, please.
I love that guy. I love that guy.
He's so good.
I am I'm a Roderick Strong mark.
Not the best on the mic, but he's good in the ring.
He should be Mr. NXT.
He has to be.
Mr. NXT is the best gimmick for him.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Best gimmick for him. I heard my boys made it to the tag team finals.
Thank God. The AOP, baby.
And they're fighting those fucking Aussie kids, right?
Yes, TM61.
That's it. Oh, they're gonna make them lose.
You know what's going to happen? I have a feeling they're going to go against the Revival.
Well.
And get the straps.
Wait, so whoever wins the tournament gets title shot?
I think so.
Ooh. Let me see. I just want
to. I might have to research that.
No, that's fine. I just want to. I know a man, Rob Domingo from Thumbstick Ninjas. New episode out, by the way, this week. Where is my Foch de Libre? There it is, Facebook. Where is my messages? There we go. There it is. 6-man tag team match next week at the Garden. Samoa Joe in a revival against Nakamura and DIY.
Oh, wow. That's going to be good.
That's going to be like the main event of the NXT event that we're going to.
By the way, is DIY, are they going to go for the straps again?
They're in a heated, I think they're getting a title shot at the NXT Toronto gimmick.
I think that's what's going to happen. I feel like they're going to get the straps from Revival, and they're going to drop them immediately to the AOP. I think that's what's going to happen, bro.
I hope that. I love those kids.
I know you do. They're your ogres, bro.
They're my bullies. They're my big bullies.
And with Paul Ellering there, even precious. Better.
Tell him, Paul.
Tell him, Paul.
Tell him, Paul.
Well! I love the LOD.
I was watching the NWA last night, and the Varsity Club just won the U.S. titles.
Oh, boy.
Right. There's Rob in the chat room. What up, Rob?
Rob, what's up?
Yeah, I need a sound bite for Mandingo.
Yes, we do.
We gotta work on that. Let's work on that. We'll work on that for Rob. But that's my brother. I love him so much. He's a good dude.
He's a good man.
But anyway, yeah. So what the hell was I saying now? Shit. The U.S. titles.
Yes.
And it was Kevin Sullivan, Dr. Death, and Rotundo. Rick Steiner had stole Rotundo's TV title. And he had like a hand puppet gimmick going on. And a real dog. Sullivan took the dog and tried to fucking take it off the set. And Junkyard Dog and Michael Hayes came out to save him. But then they cut a promo on the Road Warriors, and they were all heels. You have to understand something. This is 1989, and heels really didn't fight heels at that time. But the Road Warriors were heels, and they were tag champions, and they wanted fucking the thing. They wanted the titles. What's this in the chat room?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, Rob. But
you gave me this.
Yeah, we have the Xbox, so, I mean, it's really not.
By the way, I gotta hit you up. I got a couple guys at work who want to buy a few of those, so if your boy's still doing them.
I got to get in contact with him, but he's still doing them.
All right, so let me know. Yeah, we'll work out after the show. But my friend sent his daughter to fucking Best Buy today while he was at work, and nobody had them. And apparently Amazon was shut down. I was like, guys, you're going by this the wrong way, man. You got to do it the way I did it. I have 6,000 fucking games on this emulator, you know?
Just to emulate, if you think about it, the Nintendo Entertainment System, the new one that just came out, they're all emulating games on that thing.
Yeah.
All you got to do is just put the games on your computer, and you have the system.
And all those games that are on there, you put on my emulator, right?
They're already all on there.
See, this is why we can't have nice things. These people want the retro Nintendo and... Speaking of retro, really soon, Thumbstick Throwbacks coming soon.
I can't wait.
We're working out the details. Hopefully by the new year, we'll get that jumping off. But we already have the games all set up, and we already have the format, you know, so it's going to be dope.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait. All right, so we did NXT. We talked about some Raw. But it's the classic edition.
Rob, it's not worth it, dude. I'm telling you. You know how much it's going for right now ever since it sold out?
$250 I saw on eBay.
I saw $500.
That's crack prices.
You know, these fucking resellers can kiss my ass.
Word I'm not, up.
Fuck resellers.
Word. I'm going to go, after Choppy goes home, I'm going to put the kid to sleep and play some fucking Punch-Out.
There you go.
Do we have anything else before we go to a break? Or
I think that's it, dude.
Yeah, I think that's it, too. We talked about the election. We talked about NXT. We talked about some NWA. And we talked about nonsense with Rob about video games. So I think we're good. All right, we have a really kick-ass throwback for you. And the Nintendo store had it, too, tonight. My friend of mine went down there and got it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Well, her. One of my homegirls from the Bronx, one of my EMT friends.
Okay.
So, Piston Honda, you goddamn right. glad. You remember the original? I don't know if you guys remember this, but the original arcade version of Punch Out before Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
So remember you were like this green three dimensional.
Yeah, I remember that.
Body blow.
I hated that version.
But then Mike Tyson came in. That was it.
There's two versions of that game, though.
There was Mike Tyson. Yeah, because
Mike Tyson got involved with that rape trial.
Then Buster Douglas got his own game.
Yeah.
That's right. And then he became the referee at Saturday's main event. Yep.
Good times.
Couldn't beat Super Macho Man, though. That guy was hard.
Oh, he sucked.
That dude was hard. Super Macho Man from Punch-Out was hard.
Dude, if you ever got to Mike Tyson on Punch-Out...
I had the code.
It's one hit and you're done.
Yeah, 0073735963.
That's it. That's great.
It's bad I know that shit.
Oh, that's awesome. What about the Konami code?
Up, bump, down, left, right, BA, select, and start.
Pound.
But my game, people think, I know everybody plays Contra, and that's a great game, but my Konami game was Life Force.
Never played it.
Life Force is like, you're this little ship. And you're inside the human body, and you got to blow up like amoebas and parameciums and viruses and shit, like, you know, like creatures and it's really cool. It's one of my favorite games of all time.
You know what I just picked up a couple weeks ago?
What's that?
Remember River City Ransom?
Yes,
I have that for my 3DS. It came out with a new version. Only maybe like 500 copies were made for the 3DS.
You know what? 3DS. You know what I want to get for my Super Nintendo? There's one game I loved for Super Nintendo. It's like fucking $1,000 now online. Chrono Trigger.
It's on the Xbox, dude.
You have it on the Xbox?
It's already on there.
Oh, then I'm not. Then I don't have to worry about it.
I got that on the Xbox. I got it on the. I even have it on my 3DS right now. So don't.
That's delicious. Okay,
you'll love it.
Stick with us, kids. We know where it's at.
Emulation's where it's at.
That's right. All right, listen. We'll take a quick break. We'll plug our friends. And we have a really cool throwback for you guys tonight. We did some
Survivor Series 91.
Yeah, 91. This is going to be fucking fantastic. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're live on rantemradio.com. And Lord Alfred Hayes, take it away, you silly Brit.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog, as well as all of our friend shows. Go to RantEMRadio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course all of our friend shows over there as well. We have 4 different t-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it. And we love you all. Peace.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at ShiningWizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you! Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, the Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Played that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He
said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink, now, dog. But I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You
yes, Works. Sir.
Nah, I can't have you.
That's
you
why your girl's about, like, you that's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help out.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Hey, this is Innovator of Selfie, Sonny Ono, on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and it's the best information on professional wrestling.
All right, we're back.
We are back.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast live on the Rant, Rant EM Radio. Founding member of the Shining Wizards Network. Speaking of Shining Wizards, they're going to have their 50-year anniversary.
Yep, coming up.
Coming up on the 28th. I want to try to make that.
I'm going to try to as well, if work permits it.
Yeah.
I mean work is work.
You know? Yeah, it's like a half hour from here.
What town is it in?
West Orange.
Yeah, it's at least, I would say a half hour, 40 minutes, maybe.
So, if I play sick, cut out of work, we just have to get a ride once you get back from work. Either you drive or I'll drive or something. But, we think we should be out there for that.
We'll figure it out.
I was at the first one.
How was it?
Amazing. Actually, it's going to be one of our throwbacks. Our throwback classics.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That was their one-year anniversary. It was the day before Thanksgiving, 4 years ago. And that was the night the Shining Wizards Network was basically born in Eddie's car with me, him, and Matt. And I was like, you guys should start your own network. It's a good idea. And then come to find out a year later.
They've blown up a lot lately, these last couple of years.
Yeah, those guys are pretty good, huh?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And they're all family, man. It's nice to have family. Nice to have those guys in your corner. Shout out to Tony, Eddie, Matt, and that fucking Kevin Garifo guy.
I actually talk to Matt a lot. And he's a good dude.
He's a piece of shit. No. I love that. No.
Matt's a good dude. I like
him. He is a good dude. One of my favorite pictures of all time, which I'm going to have blown up
to like a 5x9 or an 8x10 of Matt and I at the World Series.
Oh, yeah?
He was at the World Series same time I was last year.
Oh, yeah, I saw that picture on Facebook.
So I have to just crop it, and it was a good picture. It was a good night, even though they lost. And I got so many memories of them, those guys, so far that they've been in my corner since day one. I appreciate all their stuff. And I love those guys to death. They're all boys. They're really all boys. And they'll support anything I do and vice versa. So check them out. I plug them every night, but plug them. They got a new show out this week. I'll plug all the stuff at the end of the show. So, all right. I think we're ready. Where is my fucking soundboard? There it is, Raya. You idiot. There it is. All right. And I keep forgetting to play my throwback of the week clip. I got to get more organized. That's another thing in 2017. I'm not going to make one of those resolutions, but I am going to be more organized next year. I got to do that, Charlie.
Resolutions suck. It's not even worth it.
I don't make resolutions.
It's not worth it.
Nope. But I am going to make a commitment to be more organized. That's not a resolution. That's a fucking...
It's a promise.
Yeah, pretty much. So, all right, let's rock and roll, all right? Let's do this.
Let's do it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
I love that AWA music. I know I say it all the time, but I don't care.
That's AWA?
Yeah.
I always thought it was WCCW.
Is it? No. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. Right. You're right. It is world class. Either way, I love that music.
It's still great.
Yeah. So, I picked this because it's Survivor Series season. And more importantly, it was for a long time my favorite pay-per-view. Until the Rumble got better. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they stopped doing all the traditional matches, which pisses me off. Like, when you watch the older Survivor Series, like, you know, they'll have one or two traditional matches, and they fucking had the rest of the card. But they're going back to the...
This year, they have a lot, man.
Which is great, which I'm very, very excited for.
They got the tag team, the tag teams as a group. Then you got the men, the women.
Yep.
It's going to be a great, great Survivor Series, I think, this year.
That's right, it's a four-hour event this year.
I think 4 hours is going to be too much, man.
Of course, you can get all your coverage here on Rant EM Radio.
Yeah.
.com. Cheap plug. Those fucking guys, those Rant guys. All right. So we're kicking it back to November 27th, 1991.
Joe Louis Arena.
I was a sophomore in high school.
Oh, my God. Do I want to even tell you what I was?
You were not even 10 years old, right?
7 years old.
Seven. You were Mikey's. You were little Mikey.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. 15, that was a big year for me. More ways than one. Joe Louis Arena, Detroit Rock City, home of the mighty Red Wings. The last year of the Red Wings this year, they're moving into a new arena.
Where are they going?
Downtown. But this arena's got a lot of history. If you follow the National Hockey League, the Detroit Red Wings are one of the original six teams that were in the National Hockey League. So there's a lot of lineage in Detroit, Michigan for hockey. The great Gordie Howe played there. Sergei Fedorov played there. Dominic Hasek. Very, very... Oh, fucking... Did the Knicks lose? My phone's going... Oh, how do you... Oh, well, they lost to the Celtics. Okay. Celtics are a good team. Okay. But a lot of history in this, and a lot of history in Detroit in the Michigan area for wrestling.
Oh yeah,
big time wrestling was there. The Sheik and the NWA went through there a couple times. They had their own territory over there for a while. So now WWF is a global thing, and they says 17.5, but that fucking arena is definitely not that big.
I would have said maybe like, I don't know.
15, 16.
15, 14,000 maybe.
Yeah, because I know the Joe Louis Arena is not that big.
No.
So, all right.
Crowd was hot, though.
The crowd was great. The crowd was great. Michigan always had a good crowd. They did. Your hosts, obviously, Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
My favorite commentating team. They were so good together.
Now, there is what I did to enhance the experience for tonight. I found the episode of Superstars from November 23rd, which is the Saturday before the pay-per-view. Now, back in the day, they had pay-per-views either on Thanksgiving or the night before.
Yep.
Which was amazing because you were in school and you came home from school and you knew you would get the Survivor Series either that night or on Thanksgiving. It was awesome. I didn't have cable. Well, I did have cable, but I couldn't. Yeah, sorry. Can you be serious? Can you hear me? You good?
Can you be serious?
He's doing
With the what was that from? I'm sorry.
No, it was a Gorilla Monsoon.
From Gorilla Monsoon. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were missing your headphones. I thought I broke something.
No.
But it was such a good time. Like I came. I remember going to a friend's house two blocks away. I was like, this is great. I came home from school. I took a shower. I could play this. Ironically, I don't remember what I had for dinner last night, but I can tell you what happened to me 25 years ago.
I do remember loving the Survivor Series because they always did it the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Or on Thanksgiving.
And yeah. I was able to watch the whole thing because I had a curfew. I had a bedtime, which was like 9 o'clock.
That's right. You were a kid, man.
And then I hated that. So. Yeah. The fact that I actually got to see it on a holiday where I actually could stay up late and watch it,
yeah,
was great.
Right? Anytime you do something on a holiday, you can get away with it. It is great. But what I did was I found the entire episode, and I sent it to Choppy. I was like, look at this shit.
It was gold.
And it was built. And we'll play some of the clips. I have it on YouTube. We'll play them. I'm just too lazy to cut up that audio. It's like 45 minutes. I'm just going to just fast forward to some
shit. Yeah, Rob, I was just drawing a blank. I was having an idiot moment. Sorry about that, dude. Thank you.
No worries. So, of course, this is the traditional Survivor Series teams. The opening match was Ted DiBiase, the Mountie, the Warlord.
Hercules. Was it Hercules?
No, the Warlord.
Hold on. I have my notes right here. Warlord was in there.
It was Warlord, Mountie, Ted DiBiase, and Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Versus Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, the British Bulldog,
and Virgil.
So they keep the Storton Flair's belt.
Yeah, which was not even the world title. It wasn't even the NWA title. I think it was like the tag team title they were blurring out.
Whatever it was. DiBiase had his $1 million belt back after he and Repo Man beat up the Miracle Job Connection of Tito Santana and fucking Virgil. on the countdown show leading to the event, point out the suck to rule ratio for the team members here is 0.750, which is pretty amazing. Piper and DiBiase go first, and they just fucking tear it up. They had enormous heat. Now, I played the clip prior to the show starting tonight. Flair came out for a match during Superstars, and Piper was calling the action with Vince and Macho Man. And Piper and Flair just walked over to the fucking announcer table and started beefing with him.
Yeah.
And then beat the shit out of him. You guys have to understand something. Flair and Piper are best friends. They were in each other's weddings. They were best men in their weddings. They've known each other since way before the Crockett's. This is like, they go back to Georgia and the Vern Gagne territory in Minnesota. These guys go way back. So they not only are they best friends, they had such chemistry, him and Piper.
They used to feud a lot with Jim Crockett Promotions, I believe back in like 82 or 83, something like that.
Yeah, Piper was a, but without looking, I know him and Valentine had the U.S. title feud, which is legendary with the dog collar match.
Yes, yeah.
But I believe also Flair was U.S. champion. Flair was also national champion. And him and Piper were always beefing. You know, like they fought. And they were a team, too. I think they fought the Briscoes.
Yep.
So there was a lot of chemistry there, you know.
They were actually really good in the ring.
Yes, the Warlord Scepter. Yeah.
Remember that thing?
Fucking Warlord. What a waste.
He was okay.
As the Powers of Pain, they were great.
I mean, totally ripped off the LOD, but.
Everybody did, though. So Demolition. But that's another podcast.
Yep.
So. Piper and DiBiase go first. They ripped the shit out of each other. Crowd, like Choppy mentioned before, the crowd was hot. I wrote that, hot crowd.
Oh, yeah.
DiBiase and Bret go next. This is where the famous reverse charge spot call occurs. There was also one in the 1990 show, but it clearly wasn't as loud as the obvious one. You can hear it. But anyway, the sequence is a good back and forth. Bret and Flair had some good chemistry as well. They had swapped the title too, I believe. If my memory serves me.
Yeah, it was in 92 for Saskatchewan in Canada.
Thank you. They had a good, you know, Flair ends up getting beat down by everyone, and then Piper murders him. I wrote that in big letters. Murders him. Flair bails and brings in the Warlord. The Mountie gets destroyed next. The Bulldog is about to finish him when Flair hits a cheap shot from the top rope and pins him.
Yep.
Piper commences kicking ass, but then gets quadruple teamed. He manages to escape a Boston Crab by tagging great Virgil. We get the inevitable Virgil DiBiase showdown, and it ends very badly for Virgil. In the form of a Warlord Full Nelson.
Yeah.
Fucking, I hate Virgil. Fucking mega powers in this Virgil fucking episode. Flair's early cheating, hitting his own shot from behind. Piper pins the Warlord. Good booking there, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Virgil gets the dream on DiBiase, but he escapes. The heels work Virgil over for a while. Heenan plays the armchair quarterback and nearly cracks Monsoon up on a few occasions, if you noticed that. Piper gets the hot tag, shrugs off Flair's offense. Big brawl erupts with Flair doing the flip to the floor. The ref just DQs everybody who was in the ring, and that leaves Flair, who obviously is the sole survivor.
When he announced that, I was like, "What?" That was great booking though, because it made Flair look like $1 million. It was.
People give me shit for this. And I'll say this, and I'll tell you this, too. I think Ric Flair in his WWF run kind of... And I know it didn't have nothing to do with his NWA run or his WCW run, but I think the WWF run that he had briefly, I feel personally cemented him legendary status.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because people thought... And he would cut promos like, you think I couldn't do it? You think I couldn't be here? And he would cut promos, and you're like... Yeah, I don't. You could. Yeah. You can't. You shouldn't be here. Like it did for me. Him showing up on USA was like, I was floored. And then he shows up, and my world changed. I was like, I just saw him fight like Barry Windham and Lex Luger, and like the Brain Busters kind of threw me off. But then when he came over, I was like, holy shit, man.
Could you imagine if the Brain Busters and him were there at the same exact time?
Well, Arn went back.
I know.
He went back in the whole JTEX thing.
And they switched.
Yeah, they kept missing like two ships in the night. Two ships in the night. I think the WWF run for me, Chops, I think cemented Ric Flair's legacy to know that he can just do it anywhere. Like, he was that good.
He was very good. I mean, that was my first introduction to Flair. Was in 91.
Oh, yeah, because you were a young kid.
Right? I didn't know what WCW or NWA was at the time.
Right, right.
So when I saw Flair, I was like, who the fuck is this old fart? And then when I saw how good he was, I was like, oh, okay, he's good. I like him. I like him a lot.
Right.
Especially with his feud with Macho Man in 92 was great. Great stuff.
Right.
So I love him.
So Randy Savage now cuts a promo.
Oh, yeah.
It is Tuesday in Texas, you know. Order it now, you know.
Yeah.
So now Piper, for those who don't know, Piper's been suspended at this point. Up to this point, he was suspended.
Well, Savage was, not Piper.
Savage, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Savage cuts the promo, and, you know, at this point, he's suspended, and a week before this happens, I'm going to pull this up. Let me see if I can find it. Repo Man still in the car. Where is it? There it is. So 21:47. Okay, so he can't now. You know, they're trying to get him reinstated because he had lost a retirement match, right?
Yeah,
to the Warrior, right? So, what had happened was now he gets involved with Jake Roberts,
which is
crazy.
Gold.
Yeah. The two greatest fucking minds in wrestling at that point were getting involved.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've told you this before. Jake was the reason why I started watching wrestling.
Yes.
And I love him as a bad guy. He's so good.
I really didn't... He wasn't really a face for long anyway, so...
No, not really. No.
No. But, so... He winds up getting jumped by Jake and getting the famous
snake bite.
Snake bite with the cobra.
Yeah.
And now Elizabeth's involved trying to get pleading her case. And I have a clip of her pleading her case. So let's play that real quick.
Yep.
In just a moment, we'll put our headsets back on and we'll have more action out in the squared circle. But right now, standing by is the First Lady of the... Miss Elizabeth, back in the backstage area here in the arena. Elizabeth, I wonder, would you have something to say to President Jack Tunney?
Yes, I'd like to say to Jack Tunney, Mr. President, please... Please reinstate Randy. You're the only person who can do it. Please.
Yeah, but you live. We love you, but I tried. Macho's tried. We've all tried to get it reinstated. You're beautiful, but I don't know if you can do it. He's stubborn.
Well, Roddy, I'm just hoping that Jack Tunney will bow to the will of the people and he will listen to the support of the fans and he'll reinstate Randy.
Wow, President Jack Tunney, if you don't answer in the affirmative after that, you're no more of a man than Jake the Snake Roberts.
Let's go back to ringside.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're going to reinstate me or I'm going to fuck your face.
That's so funny.
So at the end of the night, Jake is fighting. Who's he fighting? He's fighting somebody.
Probably a jobber.
And he calls out Savage. Savage goes to the ring, and this is what happens.
Sense in the world to step your feet right in here. Now, here I am. I'm standing right here waiting on you.
No!
Come on!
No, don't do it! Macho!
Come on, man!
Don't do it! The official! Yeah, trying to get Randy Savage down from there!
You're don't blow it,
Macho! Oh, no. Don't blow it!
He's gone flat!
He's close! Wait a minute! Jake Roberts with a clothesline! Face first to the pole, and again, Savage now thrown into the ring. Jake Roberts all over Randy Savage, tying him up in the ropes. Jake Roberts,
come on, Randy! Come on, Randy! Get out of there!
Randy Savage hoping for reinstatement. Randy Savage hoping to go to the Survivor Series this Wednesday night. He may have blown his opportunity. Jake the Snake Roberts enticing Randy Savage.
What's he doing? Get out of there, Macho!
Oh, no. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Look at that! Look at that!
Roberts with the King Cobra.
Macho! King!
That's the creepiest looking snake I've ever seen in my life. He's got it too close to it. Keep it away from it. That snake is trying. Wait a minute. The snake is running. The snake is running. Oh, the snake is biting it. The snake is biting it. The snake is biting it.
I'm out of here.
Roddy Piper on his way to get some help. The snake is gnawing on the arm of Randy Savage, who's helpless, tied in the rope.
Sorry. That's scary.
All I can say is,
it's not funny at all.
It better be devenomized. It better be. Jake Roberts, look at it, sinking a snake as the snake digs deeper into the arm of Randy Savage. This is supposed to happen. Roddy Piper there. Oh, no. Elizabeth. I can't believe she's going to witness this horror. Elizabeth. Oh, Jake with a snake moving everybody back. The snake almost bit Elizabeth and Piper. Jake the Snake has lost it. He's lost it. And I don't think that snake has been minimized. Randy Savage would have gotten up a lot earlier. Something's gone wrong.
She's terrible.
Elizabeth screaming. This is not supposed to happen. Randy Savage.
Kids are terrified.
Yeah.
His equilibrium, he says.
You can't believe what. That's her husband. Everyone out in ringside. doesn't know what to do. Get him out of there. For God's sake, get Randy Savage out of there.
Vince is low.
I love Vince, man. Vince is great.
Savage must be hallucinating by now. That poison going through his veins.
The poison.
The poison.
For God's sake.
This one doesn't have the sensor on here, right?
No, this is the original, dude.
For Elizabeth to have to witness this. Roddy Piper with Randy Savage. Yes. Get some help.
Get him on there. Get him the hell out of here.
Look at that. Sick. Oh, no.
He fell off the gurney. The kids are crying. And the kids. This is awesome.
That's great stuff, man.
The buzzer average.
And the best.
We can tell you the best
is right as I just paused it. There's the last clip you see is Jake and the snake staring at each other.
That was a really good clip of him smiling at the snake.
There's I don't know if it's on the network, but I remember seeing it as a kid. There was a episode of Tuesday Night Titans where they go to Jake's house and he's got like a backyard of just cages of. Of just snakes.
Okay.
I don't know if it's backyard, but it might have been somebody's house or something, but that was probably one of the best angles. People still talk about that to this day. Obviously the King Cobra did not have venom. Because
you know, Vince tried to make it over the top to make it seem like it was, but it was good storytelling.
Right, and Savage being a team player let the snake actually bite him.
I would never let a snake bite the fuck out of me. No way.
I gotta tell you, this is where the what's the word I want to use about sound like an idiot. The legacy of Randy Savage doing shit like that, like meticulously planning, like he said, probably said, "Ori brother, you're gonna let the snake bite me here." And like I'm sure management, like, you guys, you know, we're not responsible. And him and Jake are like, "Yeah, fuck this." Him and Jake made music together. They made magic. It was probably one of the great best feuds ever in pro wrestling.
I agree. I mean, the Jake was the master psychologist in the ring, and Macho Man, you know, his history speaks for himself. He's amazing in the ring. So good.
That's right. We'll obviously, now this is going to set up a match for them. We'll talk about that, you know,
yeah,
at the end of the night. Okay. So let's go now to the next match. You want to?
Yeah, let's do this one. This next one is the Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Sergeant Slaughter, El Matador, Tito Santana, or Chico Santana.
Chico. Now remember, you know the rule.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich.
Clubfoot.
taking on the team of Colonel Mustafa, which was the Iron Sheik, Berserker.
Huss.
Hercules and Skinner, which was Steve Kern.
Steve Kern, correct. Yep. Now, the story is here: Sergeant Slaughter was a replacement for, I believe, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, right?
Yeah, because he was taken out by Flair.
Right. So, and at this point, Slaughter was now no longer an Iraqi sympathizer,
and he was tagging with Hacksaw, and Hacksaw was trying to get the crowd behind him.
Right.
And this pretty much solidified that when after the match was over. So we pretty much start off with Skinner and El Matador. Chico applies a headlock and takes him down. Chico quickly nails him with the flying forearm, which was the flying jalapeno by Bobby Heenan.
Flying jalapeno. Fucking racist, Bobby Heenan.
Love it. But Skinner tumbles to the floor. Mustafa heads out to give him some advice. God only knows what he would have said, but I'm guessing Humble may have been involved.
Do you think? I don't think Iron Sheik was that great. I mean, I don't think he was that nuts at that point. And,
I mean, he was not crazy.
He had a lot of respect for the business, though. I mean,
he protected the business.
He protected a lot. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And Heenan continues to make his make this match far more entertaining than it has any right to be.
True.
Commenting on Chico's green tights, calling it iridescent guacamole. Chico hits the ropes and misses a high crossbody, calling it the flying taco, according to Heenan. It's terrible. Berserker tags in, huss, and misses something off the second rope. Tornado tags in and gets chopped in the corner. Berserker misses a dropkick but forces Tornado into the corner, allowing Hercules to tag in. Duggan then tags in and then they trade punches. Berserker distracts Duggan, but it may take some time for the heels to take over. Finally, they overwhelm him, and Berserker tags in and pummels Duggan. Mustafa finally tags in, and he slams Duggan's head into the spike boot and hits a chinlock. Duggan comes back but runs into a double chop to the throat. This match has gone far too long. Duggan finally blocked and hits his own vertical suplex. Slaughter tags in and fights former ally Colonel Mustafa. He hits an atomic drop and clothesline and eliminates the Iron Sheik, which was really, really cool. Then we go on to Hercules and Berserker trying to double up on Slaughter. Berserker tosses Slaughter into the corner hard, allowing Slaughter to overbump. Big Boot plants the Sarge and gets a near fall. Hercules tags in and hammers away. Berserker comes in, but Slaughter atomic drops him onto the top rope. Slaughter kicks Berserker's leg, and he falls into a split. Did you see that?
I did.
I could not believe that.
Yeah.
Was he a breakdancer at one point?
Who, Berserker?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the fake Brody. He was, John Nord was a big dude, man.
He's humongous, dude.
I don't know if he's still alive, John Nord.
No, I think he still is.
He was the original Barbarian, by the way.
Yes.
That was his gimmick, John Nord the Barbarian. But, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No problem. Berserker headbutts in lower half of Duggan, and then the Tornado tags in. Hercules tags in, and Von Erich hops over him twice, stumbling onto the... into the tag, into Chico.
Poor Clubfoot.
Clubfoot, I'm sorry. Oh, boy. The Chico hits his finisher, and the El Paso de Muerte, and Hercules gets eliminated. That's what... I'm sorry.
With his hands up, like...
Yeah, you saw that.
If whoever's watching me on fucking Ustream, look.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm doing it, look.
What the fuck was that, man?
Poor Chico. I gotta tell you, man, he was there for everything, though, man. For those first 8 or 9 years.
During... I mean, he was a company guy, though. He did anything.
I grew up on my first real bloody feud as a kid was him in Morocco.
Yeah, what about him and Valentine? I thought that was really good, too.
I got the tail end of that. It was more him in Morocco because you know, I was still 83, 84. I was still like set 8, 9. You know, I was like, but more him in Morocco. I saw more him in Morocco, put it that way.
I think Morocco's so underrated. I wish they talked more about him. He was so good.
Oh, yeah, we had a Don Morocco episode.
Remember.
If you want to do another, we could do another. I could talk about Morocco any time of the week.
And then let's go towards the end of the match. And pretty much Berserker ends up being the only one left of his team, taking on four guys. And then it goes pretty much. Duggan tags in, and then Slaughter whips Berserker into Duggan, and then Duggan hits the 3-point stance, does the clothesline,
and takes us out of our misery.
Yes. Oh man, it was an okay match. It wasn't too bad.
And the Iron Sheik was mad, and you know what he said to this guy?
What he said?
Countryman, make him humble, suplex him, put him in the camel clutch, break his back. And then fuck his ass, make him humble,
Oh my God. Do you follow him on Twitter?
Yes, I do.
The stuff that he says, it's like, if you don't vote for Trump, I will humble you with my camel clutch and stick my thumb up your ass.
I like what he says, fuck the Mondays.
Fuck the Mondays is fuck great.
Fuck the Mondays is
oh,
great.
Oh, he's awesome.
Fuck your ass and make you humble.
Oh, man.
Okay, so now we go to Jake the Snake Roberts, who offers his rebuttal to Randy Savage. Hidden message. We know you just blown $30 on this crappy pay-per-view, but now since you're in a spending mood, why not spend another $20 on another crappy pay-per-view next Tuesday in Texas?
Oh, man, this is too funny.
Right. It wasn't that crappy.
It wasn't that bad.
Listen, going back and you look at it, it wasn't as bad as some of the other shit that was going on around that time anyway. So. Yeah. with the Repo Man. And
that's another thing. How do you go from Smash to the Repo Man, dude?
What's even more fucked up is they... I know... I remember Eddie mentioning this to me, that when they brought them in years ago, and it was Pro Wrestling Syndicate, they wanted him to do the Repo Man gimmick, and he refused. He won't even talk about it.
It's a terrible gimmick. It was.
I thought the fucking golf gimmick was worse.
Oh, the golf gimmick was terrible.
Right. Blacktop Bully, remember that gimmick?
Oh, that was terrible, too.
I'd rather the Repo Man.
Oh, man. But he was so good at Smash.
Barry Dawson was a great hand. He trained with the Road Warriors. He came up with them. He was the
Russian sympathizer.
Yeah, he was Crusher Khrushchev. He was fucking did a lot of shit, man.
Ugh.
So, all right. So let's get right into the fucking meat and potatoes of this PPV and the place to be. Okay. WWF title match: Hulk Hogan in his gravest challenge against The Undertaker.
Ooh.
Oh, yes! So Taker was undefeated at this point, which makes this even better. I guess the Ultimate Warrior stuff was obsolete, and they didn't... I don't know how they did it with... I mean, but they made Taker, at this point, who's only been in there for about a year... Matter of fact, it was a year, because he made his debut in the 90 Survivor Series.
Which was DiBiase's secret tag partner. Secret partner,
yes. Forget about shitting on Hogan. I think this was perfect for the time. Because it does a few things here. It makes Undertaker more fucking more bad and more evil and still undefeated. And then it makes Hogan a little more vulnerable and makes him work for this grave challenge, quote unquote. And it interjects the greatest heel of all time.
Your man.
Right. So, Slick Rick, we'll get into that in a second.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's get right into it. He chokes Hogan. Is Brucey? Oh, Brucey's up.
Yep.
Oh, good morning, sir. So, of course, he chokes Hogan out with a cable. Taker goes, chokes him down with a face claw, giving Monsoon a chance to run some of his usual cliches to the fans about, you know, the edge of the seats, blah, 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 and the medical terminologies and shit. Hogan gets the fucking asthma attack with the dramatic body slam. Here comes Flair.
Yep.
Now, he tries to steal the title belt. Hogan stops that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes back and hits the big boot on Taker.
Yep.
Leg drop. Comes Paul Bearer. Bearer grabs Hogan's leg. The ref goes to deal with him. That allows Ric Flair to now put the chair into the ring, toss it in. Undertaker tombstones Hogan onto the chair.
Which was great.
Now, people popped for this, okay? And I know people popped for it because I played it back.
Yes.
You can't screen this, Mike. You can't screen this crowd, Choppy. And let me tell you a story. So I'm at a friend's house, a few blocks from where I live. And when Flair threw the chair in, I said to my friend's dad, I'm like, it's over. And he was like, no. I'm like, no, it's over. And even like his wife was like, no, it can't be. She's like a Hogan Mark, old lady.
Yeah.
It can't be. I'm like, guys, it's over. And they had plastic on their furniture. So I stuck to the couch. As I stood up, I said, it's over. Done. Taker hits the tombstone, crosses the arms, gets the 1, 2, 3. I pop. Can I tell you, if I could move quick enough, I would have did a cartwheel in this kid's living room. This was one of the greatest title changes of all time. And not because the match was so good, but because of what I mentioned before, in terms of making The Undertaker this big, badass, undefeated heel, beats the immortal Hulk Hogan. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this correct. Was the build-up to with the funeral parlor and the casket, and Flair is involved. Flair is walking around with a fake belt, telling people he's the real world champion, telling people Hogan is a fake, and now has Hogan lose the title.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Very big deal. People just don't understand, like, when Flair showed up on TV with the NWA World Heavyweight title, it was a big deal.
Man.
And then to tell the public, the WWF crowd, I'm the real world champion. And Hogan is a fraud, a fake.
With a tag team belt, yes.
Yeah, with the tag team title.
Chopper mentioned that before, yes.
Yes.
Good call, Rob.
But I thought it was a great storytelling at that time.
Yes.
Excellent.
So this was great booking.
It was.
Again, you have the indestructible, immovable dead person, the immortal hero, and the most fucking greatest heel of all time.
Mind you, even though he was the heel, he was getting cheered by Detroit.
Because, listen, again, these are NWA territories.
Exactly.
You have to understand something. Flair's been around since the 70s. Flair has won the NWA championship at that point.
Nine times?
He won. He was six-time champion by 90. He had the belt six, seven times before he even came here.
Okay.
So, like, he did the circuit, dude. He beat Harley Race. He beat Dusty Rhodes. He beat fucking
Ronnie Garvin.
He beat Kerry Von Erich. And who didn't beat Kerry Von Erich? But that's beside. And I hate to hate on Kerry Von Erich because he was, you know. But
he was okay. I wasn't a big
He wasn't. He, Clubfoot was okay. The Von Erichs had just a raw deal.
One more.
Yeah, yeah. they just. It's. I think one day I'm going to do the whole Von Erich tragedy as a podcast because they need to get some. I mean, it's just so sad. But Kerry was a trooper, considering he wrestled with one foot.
And a lot of people didn't know he wrestled with one foot.
No, a lot of people did not know that.
He was good at covering that up, though.
He was good at that. He was very good at that. Good point. So, for me, this is one of the greatest title changes of all time. Because it had every element. It just told an amazing story.
Yep.
If anything else, the rest of the card couldn't even hold up to this, and there was some, you know, good spots, right, Brucey? But it couldn't hold up to that title change.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he by Undertaker winning the title at this night, he became the youngest WWF champion at that time. I think at 26 years old, and then The Rock would beat that record.
Yes.
In 98.
And then Randy Orton after that.
And Randy Orton right after that. Correct. Right.
Okay.
So Undertaker was a big fucking deal in 1991. He was. He solidified himself as a major player with this title win. So I was very happy to see this happen.
Yep. And it's, you know, again, just fun. It was so much fun reliving this and looking in the back of this. I'm like, oh, this is so good, man. So good.
And the characters were all great. I mean, some of them were good. Some of them were okay. You know?
Well, I mean, you have to understand, too. Like, you mentioned Perfect before as the liaison. What was he calling him?
The consultant.
The consultant, right. He called the liaison. What the fuck is wrong with you, Phil?
With a sweatsuit and everything.
He had the tracksuit gimmick on. Kurt Hennig was...
gold.
He was perfect. No pun intended.
There it is.
No pun intended. And then Bobby Heenan's still the manager.
Yes.
So Bobby Heenan's like all over the place, you know?
Bobby was doing double duty at that time. He was doing the commentating team, and he was also Flair's manager. It was great stuff, man.
Yeah, transition was crazy. But again, it just told a great story, and it was so well done and just a high point for them.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, you want to continue with the Survivor Series?
Yes, sir.
All right.
So, you want me to do the Rockers? Okay, so next one, I think it was...
This is the creation of the Heartbreak Kid?
Yes. So we got the Rockers and Bushwhackers versus Nasty Boys and the Beverly Brothers.
I can recall telling my mom who the Beverly Brothers were. My mom didn't follow AWA. So when we first got cable, I would record the AWA episode that came on at 4 o'clock because I was still at school.
Okay.
Or I was coming home from school or whatever it was, and they were called the Destruction Crew.
Yes, yeah.
They used to come out the hard hats and vests, and they used to come out the Queen. We will rock you.
Yeah.
Right? So when they came over, I still had these tapes of the Destruction Crew. I popped them in my mom, is the Beverly Brothers, and she was like, what? Another great, great fucking team that had a gimmick, but... they had a mouthpiece.
And the mouthpiece, I believe, was
Lanny Poffo.
The Genius, yes.
The Genius, yeah. So, Bushwhackers were terrible. Break my heart.
Oh, the Sheepherders, yeah.
Yeah. Who, I just watched them in the NWA calling out people, calling out the Fantastics, which was a great feud. And if Bobby Fulton didn't want to charge me to interview him, I would have him on and talk about it, but I ain't paying him to talk about it, so.
He was charging you for that?
He wanted me to charge me to come on a podcast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
For
my,
what?
Yeah, you know, he wanted me to pay him so he can come on and talk about his old career that nobody cares about but me. But God bless Bobby Fulton. Hope that all works out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, and then this was the Rockers. Now, the Rockers were in a very unique situation at this point. They were getting over, but they weren't winning.
Yes.
They weren't winning matches they were supposed to win. And it wasn't because they were bad. It was because, oh, look, Nick German Suplex is in the ring.
Nicky, what's up, my friend?
Nick German Suplex.
Nice.
Getting in the ring chat with us. Now, here's the thing. For me, the Rockers were that coulda, shoulda, woulda team.
Yeah.
They should have been World Tag Team Champions.
I mean, they were supposed to win it if it wasn't for the botched ring
rope incident. Oh, yeah. But it wasn't because they were a bad team. It was because they, for some reason, they didn't put enough stock into Marty Jannetty.
Not at all, because he was such a fucking loose cannon outside the fucking ring.
Yeah, see, the politics don't come into this until 20 years later when we're grown-ass men and we're like, oh my God, this is terrible. I didn't know all that, you know? And then when I finally got to talk to Marty Jannetty a couple of years ago, and you could just by talking to him, you could tell he fucking partied way too much. Him and Sonny were burnt out at this table. More him than her at this point, too, because she was like mother of the den at that point, den mother. But giving out cupcakes to everybody. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah.
So he, you know, so now this was the almost to the breakup now of the Rockers.
Yep.
You know, this was the self-destruction, obviously. I just didn't like any of this at all. Because the Nasty Boys, I was never a fan of the Nasty Boys. Ever.
Yeah, I was not a fan of those guys.
The only time I ever liked them was when they feuded with the Steiners in WCW.
Yeah. I actually liked them when they were feuding with Cactus Jack.
And Max Payne.
Yeah, that was a good match.
That was a good match,
That was good stuff right there.
But my favorite Nasty Boys stuff was them and the Steiners.
Now, were they ever AWA Tag Team Champions?
They were. They were.
So they were WCW, WWF, and AWA Tag Champ? Wow, I never even know that.
Yeah, so were the Road Warriors, though.
Yeah, the Road Warriors, but the Road Warriors, I won every belt.
They won every belt. So the Steiners. Again, do you want to go through this whole thing? I mean,
not the whole thing. I mean, the match was okay. It was nothing special. It was just pretty much, it was what it was. Let me just jump over here. Shawn Michaels is in the ring with Blake Beverly and catches a hard elbow. Michaels hits a swinging neckbreaker off a telegraphed backdrop. Blake takes over with a backbreaker and tags in Knob, but he misses an elbow drop and Shawn catches him with a high knee. Luke returns and stops Knob's foot. Knobs misses a corner charge, and Luke spends too much time looking like an idiot that Knobs is able to clothesline him off the second rope and score a pinfall, and Bushwhacker Luke is eliminated.
Yeah, idiot.
Fucking Bushwhackers, you suck.
Bushwhackers.
Michaels comes in, and Jerry Sags tags in as well. Sags hits a nice vertical suplex. Sags misses a corner charge, and Shawn ascends the buckles and hits a crossbody and gets a two. Shawn tags in Marty Jannetty, who splashes down onto Sag's arm and applies an armbar. Jannetty hits a few arm drags and reapplies an armbar. Sags traps Marty in the corner. Excuse me. And Boo Beverly tags in. Jannetty flips out of a backdrop and hits a super kick. It gets two. Jannetty drops toe holds off a whip into a front chancery. Boo drops Marty onto the top rope, and Jannetty jumps over him but falls onto the referee, but it does not knock him out. Boo uses the distraction to retake control. They hit the head-to-head, and Marty tags in Butch. Sags distracts referee Danny Davis, allowing Beverly's to kill Butch with a shaker height spike for three. Bushwhacker Butch is eliminated. So, yeah, it looks like it's not looking good for the Rockers right now.
No.
Not at all. Marty comes in and hammers on Bill Beverly. Jan Eddie hits a monkey flip and a Frankensteiner for two. Marty clobbers Bill with an enziguri into an arm drag. Shawn tags in and gets caught with a knee lift. Beverly's hit the AWA special and toss Shawn on the floor, where Knobs tosses him into the apron. Bill drags Michaels back into the ring and works the back with an elbow and a backbreaker. Shawn flips out of another backbreaker and applies a backslide. For the first time in the recorded human history, someone is pinned by the backslide.
Yeah.
And then Bill Beverly is eliminated by Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
So, it's really, you know, it is what it is. Blake runs in and hits an Oklahoma power slam. Knobs tags in, and Shawn hits a desperation sunset flip for the two. And then kind of let's jump a little bit further down. Where it gets really interesting. Sags hits a pump handle slam and a back suplex. Knobs returns and tries the second rope splash and finds Jannetty's knees. Shawn gets a tag and takes on all three. Marty returns and they whip the Nasty Boys into Blake Beverly. Jannetty accidentally wipes out Shawn Michaels with Sags' boot as he is slamming him. Knobs schoolboys the day Shawn and pins him and eliminates Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
So that's what's that's pretty much the setup right there.
Yeah, teases the heel turn and leave Marty Jannetty for dead.
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Right.
So we kind of like jump over and with Marty Jannetty getting eliminated, pretty much Marty cuts off a Blake Irish whip with a face plant. The Nasties try to double clothesline counter into a small package on Sags while Blake distracts the referee. Knobs sneaks over and turns Jannetty over and Sags gets the pinfall. Marty Jannetty is eliminated. The survivors are the Nasty Boys and Blake Beverly. So that was that match right there.
Yeah, shortly after the heel turn on the barbershop.
Which is my favorite line for was Bobby Hinton. Oh, Jannetty was trying to escape, and then Shawn Michaels throws him right through the window. It was great.
Wait, I think I have that.
You have? Oh, that's fantastic.
Hold on. Let me try to find it. Let's try to find it. Hold on 1 second. I think I have it. Oh, come on. There it is. Hold on. Let me get right up to it. There we go. Okay.
Federation. And I know that the rumors have been flying, but I can assure you, as the captain of this team, as the guy that has Jannetty's put face. All of this together, that there are absolutely no problems with the Rockers whatsoever. I can assure you of that.
I thought Jannetty was the captain.
Hold on, one thing right now, Sean.
Didn't think there was one.
Let's don't come out here and lie to the people. Everybody here knows there is friction between the Rockers. Let's get it straight tonight. Let's straighten the thing out. First of all, listen to yourself. The captain of the Rockers. Nobody ever picked a captain for this team. We've done everything together. Let's take a few weeks back. We had a match on television. We almost lost because I went for the tag, and you were down the apron somewhere flirting with a girl ringside.
Hey, what do you want from me, huh? Chicks dig me. I can't help it. Yeah.
That's fine. How about another match with the Nasty Boys, a big match? I'm on top. I've got the guy beat.
Hold on 1 second. What, are we going to toss blame back and forth? Is that what we're going to come out here and shoot the blame back and forth? Fine, let's do that. Let's just do that. Here I am wrestling Ric Flair, something you have never done, and I'm giving him the wrestling lesson of his life.
Yeah, okay.
And here you come.
Yeah, sure.
Winds up retiring him.
The day. Good job.
First of all, Sean, I didn't come out there to save the day. I came out there because you hit your head on the railing. I was concerned for you, for your well-being.
You're concerned for my well-being?
A lot of trouble
here. Did somewhere down the line I tell you that I needed your help? Did I tell you that sometime? I don't remember.
Listen as yourself, man. Take a listen to yourself. I don't know what's going on in your head. For a long time, we've stuck together. Through thick and thin, we've watched each other's back. I don't know where you're coming from anymore, man. I don't know what's going on in there with Shawn Michaels.
Shawn's got an attitude problem.
You think,
Gorilla?
We were this close to being tag team champions, something that we strived for since the beginning. But wait a minute. I don't want to put the blame back and forth, just like you said. I'll take the blame. Let's blame me and say it's my fault. I shouldn't have come out there with you and Ric Flair's match. Okay? My fault. I'm sorry. I want this thing to work with the Rockers. Okay? Because together, we can make it to the top. But it's up to you, Shawn Michaels. It's up to you. Do you want it? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn my back to you right now. And if you want to go on your own, then walk off and leave. If you want to stick together and make this thing work, when I turn around, we're going to shake hands and we're going to go on a rock and roll like the Rockers can do.
They need each other. You know that.
Sounds fair to me.
Yeah, okay.
He's not going to walk away.
They need each other.
They need each other.
I'm sure they do. This was classic right here.
Beefcake steps away.
Oh, yeah. This was great. Love this.
See, one without the other isn't any good. Oh, I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah, sure you would. Yeah, you did, Bobby.
Janetti, I told you that all the time. Are you kidding?
Watch this part. This is great. Oh man. Oh, that was great.
Oh, Beefcake comes back out now.
Oh, look at that. He's busting wide open. We need a paramedic here.
Is there a problem?
They're done. They're finished, Monsoons.
Yeah, there's a problem with you, Sean.
Rockers are history. 1 week away. Is he going to be ready for the Royal Rumble?
He don't look at now. That. Bleeding profusely.
Profusely.
In 17 years of emergency medical medicine, I have never used that word profusely, except when I'm watching something with Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh my God.
I never used the word contusion. The motherfucker has a bruise. That was 2 weeks after the tag team match that we just talked about. So I said we had to talk about it. It was bound to come up. And I thought it was cool because at one point in the match, like you mentioned before, when Michaels gets hit inadvertently,
yeah,
when Jannetty was scooping up one of the Nasty Boys, I think it was, right then and there, you knew, like, what the fuck? He's like, push, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, but I was there. You know, what are you doing? You kicked, and then like you saw it. And this happens a lot in the 80s and 90s when the tag teams break up, but
yeah,
this really needed to happen. Because I think the Flair Shawn Michaels match, I think set him up too for the singles run.
Yeah, after they broke up that tag team, I actually thought that feud was going to be a big deal, but then Marty was having a lot of personal problems at that time, so he was in and out of the company for the next couple of years. But Shawn was great. I wasn't the biggest Shawn fan.
No, me either. I was never, and you know that. What is this in the chat room?
Nick saying that he Sensational Sherry made him very horny. LOL.
You sick freak!
Sherry was pretty hot back in the day.
Oh yeah, she was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, she can get it. She can get it. Well, we come to the last match of the night.
Your boys. You call this one.
Right, it was my. Now it's, this is now is all right. So here's a couple things happening, because Jake the Snake set his Cobra on Savage.
Yep,
Jake is now not in this match. And it was supposed to be a 4-on-3 or 3-on whatever it was.
It was supposed to be a 4-on-3, and then it ended up being a 3-on-3.
Right. So now because the Boss Man and Legion of Doom lost their partner, So now it's a 3-on-3. And obviously the boss man now, a face, had beef with IRS. And he's teaming up with the natural disasters, Typhoon, Tugboat. Typhoon and Earthquake. I'm sorry, Typhoon. The fuck, Tugboat was the same person. I'm tired.
Shockmaster, man.
Sitting right,
right there.
Sitting right over there. Oh, man. I want to open him so bad, but I can't. He's worth so much more in the package.
Don't do it.
Anyway. Anyway, thank you, Rob, by the way, and Aline and Mega Powers for that. They bought me that for my birthday. Okay. So, apparently, back in the day, the IRS character was made up by Vince as a shot at the real IRS who ordered him the year before.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either until I read that. So I put that in there in the notes.
That's pretty cool.
So, okay, so this is just a six-man, still elimination. I mean, LOD dominates. Boss Man gets bopped with the briefcase and gets pinned by IRS. Animal takes some... take some huge punishment from the big boys. Hawk gets the hot tag as always. They try to briefcase trick again, but the same trick can't work twice because that's the rules of wrestling.
Yeah.
It misses, and Typhoon gets hit instead and gets pinned. Earthquake bitches at IRS about the miscue and leaves him for the LOD to kill him against the champions. Rest in peace, IRS.
That's it.
Animal gets the pin for they do the doomsday. And, you know, at 1521, so your survivors are the Legion of Doom. And, of course, they plug President Jack Tunney on the take, Tunney, if you talk to Tony C. Hogan will face Undertaker. And at Tuesday in Texas. And so when Jake the Snake is going to be taking on The Undertaker. Jake the Snake and Macho Man.
Macho Man.
So, again, now, Tuesday in Texas was a big deal because you're like, oh my God, another pay-per-view?
Yeah.
We only got 4 a year, now we're getting 5?
Yeah.
This is crazy. Very, very exciting. Very exciting. And we will be talking. That'll be on next Throwback Live.
Yes.
In the second week of December. So you're going to get a couple of old school wrestling episodes, some classic throwbacks, and then Choppy again will be joining me on December the 9th. So the 9th, the 16th, and the 23rd are our last 3 shows live. And then that's it. We're going into 2017.
Yes.
So what did you think of the pay-per-view in a whole?
I thought it was more promo-driven than match-driven, this pay-per-view, but it was still a very good pay-per-view.
Yes.
The match of the night for me was the first one, which was with Flair.
That was fun.
It was a great match.
Lots of good heat with him and Piper, man.
Yeah.
And then, the match of the night for me was Hogan and Taker.
Yeah.
Just because of the title change and the fact that it wasn't a bad match. You know, Hogan sold... the fact that Taker was this big, dominant, dead guy, undefeated. Yeah. And Taker, you know, was coming into his own, like you mentioned before, young guy, big, massive, way over as a bad guy, too.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and this is where the crowd starts to change. The crowd is figuring stuff out. It's the 90s now, and they want something different, and they're trying to incorporate all these characters. And for the most part, it worked. But I thought it was a good pay-per-view. You know, looking back on it, was it one of the best ones? Not at all. But it does tell a good story. Everybody in these matches had a beef with somebody else.
Yeah.
There was nothing left. No stone unturned, I should say. And there was really a legit beef with every single combatant in this pay-per-view.
Yeah. You don't see that too often nowadays.
Not at all.
I mean, I wish it was more like that today, because now they just put Survivor Series matches on, and they're like, they just put random people in the matches that don't even have problems with one another. They don't even have heat with one another. Why would you do a Survivor Series pay-per-view if there's no heat with the other person, you know? Now, I believe this year's Survivor Series is pretty much, you know, brand versus brand. But at this time, in 1981, it was just like, you know, everyone had problems with one another heading into this pay-per-view.
Right.
And it just made it for great drama and great storytelling.
And the first couple of Survivor Series were that way.
Yes.
Everybody had you had a beef, get yourself a partner. You're a team, fight that team, and it just, you know. it manifested, and that's why the Survivor Series was just was such a good brand at the time.
Yep.
Okay, well, we have a couple of minutes before we wrap up. Maybe we'll take some calls. Maybe we'll take some quick calls if you don't mind.
That's fine. Yeah, dude,
let's
please.
Do that. 718-878-6394. 718-878-6394. Or you want to add us on Skype. All one word, throwbacks and awfulness. Another 5-10 minutes, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yep.
But, you know, this sets up a lot of stuff. Again, Hogan and Flair, Michaels and Jannetty.
When I was a kid, man, when this was going on, I was really hoping for the Flair-Hogan match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it never happened.
I got Flair and Hogan's first match.
Yeah, that was at the Garden, right? They have that on the network, I believe.
I was there for that.
It was good. And Flair was so over in New York.
My buddy, who's now ironically, he's my cousin now. I can't believe that. I've known Brian my whole life, almost. He's now a family because I married his wife's cousin. And I was in their wedding. That's how I met her. But, yeah, I got Brian. I'm going to have Brian call in one night. I should. He's in Florida. I want him to call in and talk because we had so much fun that night at the Garden. It was the Mountie, and it was a good card, actually.
Yeah.
It was fun. We were abusing people on a G-train. That was pretty fun. So.
Yeah, I noticed at this time, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure out why they didn't do this match, but I think I have a feeling why. I feel like a lot of the WWF crowd was cheering Flair more than Hogan, because Flair was so good in the ring. And I feel like Hogan, you know, at the time, Hogan had a really big ego, as all, you know. Which he did make that company a lot of money, but at the same time, the money that could have been made for a Flair and Hogan match, look what happened with WCW 94 with Bash at the Beach. They made a lot of money off of that match. And I think the WWF could have capitalized it at WrestleMania 8 in 1992. But
that was him and Sid, right?
It ended up being Hogan and Sid, yeah. With the Warrior coming back.
And Flair and Savage, right?
Flair and Savage, where Flair was like, she was mine before you.
when he had all the magazines and shit. That was so good. That was so good.
Oh, my God.
That was so good. Yeah, that good point. And I could tell you this, too. You know, another reason why I never liked Hulk Hogan, because, there were so many guys that should have beat him. Kurt Hennig, Rick Rude.
Yep.
I know I'm going to get shit for this, but I want to throw the one-man gang a rub. I'll tell you why. I saw them fight twice. Once in Nassau. Matter of fact, with my buddy Chris, whose birthday is today. I've known Chris since I'm 5 years old, so he's one of my earliest friends. So Chris, happy birthday. He just ran the New York City Marathon on Sunday.
Happy birthday, Chris.
So Chris, we love you. Have a great birthday. Hope you're listening. I went, him and his dad, we sat like two rows from ringside at the Coliseum, and I was the only kid in the row rooting for One Man Gang. And I thought One Man Gang was so massive and so mean looking. He could have been world champion. King Kong Bundy could have been world champion.
Yeah.
Like, there were certain guys you could have put the belt on if you wanted to extend a storyline. Obviously, it wasn't happening like that. Like you said, it's politics. Politics always prevent accountability, and I think when you... when you go to steer away from your meal ticket, I don't think Vince wanted to lose the meal ticket.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it was part Hogan, part Vince, and, you know, a lot of guys in the back were like, you know, what about me? You know, doing the whole what about Raven thing, you know?
I think I agree. A lot of the guys that went up against Hogan were just fed to him just to make him look like $1 million.
Yep.
Guys like Kurt Hennig should have been world champion. Rick Rude should have been world champion. Rick Rude could have been a great heel world champion.
Absolutely.
I even think a guy like Paul Orndorff could have been world champion.
Now, I say that and people laugh at me, but Paul Orndorff, before I knew who Ric Flair was my favorite wrestler. Before I knew who Dusty Rhodes was and Ric Flair were and a lot of other guys, Paul Orndorff, to me, was the greatest heel besides Piper. Also, Paul Orndorff was a national heavyweight champion. Was a tag team champion, was an amazing fucking athlete, and he could have been world champion. He won that cage match. Nobody...
Yeah, everyone's still disputing that cage match.
He won the cage match. I don't care what you tell me. He won the cage match. Chris, I know you're listening. Me and Chris, to this day, 40 years later, we still argue about that.
Oh, my God.
I had lunch with him last year with him and his wife. They came out here. And I'm like, you know, Orndorff won that match, right? Chris was like, no, I didn't. No, I didn't.
That's great.
So, yeah, he won that match. Chris, I don't care if it's your birthday. I'm calling you out, son. Anyway, but yes, Choppy, good point. Mr. Wonderful was the man. Where is he? Oh, my figures are all covered up. But, yeah, he's in there with his robe next to Thunder Lips.
Thunder Lips.
The Ultimate Male versus the Ultimate Meatball.
Rocky III, love it.
But yeah, that's the legacy of Hogan. That's the mystique, you know. I want to see Hogan do a legit shoot.
And actually be honest for once.
I think there. I want to hear his side of it, even if it's bullshit. I want to hear him talk about Orndorff and Savage and like for real Warrior and Bundy and Morocco and Piper and Rock and Wrestling and NWO and Turner and Bischoff. I want to hear everything. And I think at 60 years old, he's got a couple of more years left doing whatever he's got to do. I think when it's all said and done, I think he's waiting for Vince to fucking croak. I think once Vince croaks, I think it's just open season. Because now you're not pissing. I mean, you care you piss Triple H and Stephanie off? Kind of, sort of, but I don't know. I think if Hogan did a legit shoot, I think you'll hear some shit.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that. I mean, like, if Vince does kick the bucket, then maybe, yeah, we'll get a legitimate shoot from him. Because every word so far these last couple years that's been coming out of his mouth has been all bullshit.
Right, exactly. So
he needs to stop pretending that he's Hogan. And start acting like fucking Terry Bollea and tell us the fucking truth of what happened back in the 80s and the early 90s, because we all know the match between him and Brett was supposed to happen, and he was too much of a fucking bitch to job out to Brett, even though he was like the older guy.
I'll tell you what. I guarantee you that shoot can not only be like a box set, but it could be like six figures.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it. High Spots or Feinstein would have to mortgage their fucking houses.
Just to get that shoot? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it'd be worth it, because they would sell that, you know?
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of fucking cheddar. A lot of cheddar. All right. Apparently nobody's calling in tonight, so we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
But I want to thank everybody for their support, and they're still messaging me on Facebook and social media and Twitter and all this other jazz. So we're not going anywhere. We're here. Choppy's been sitting in. He's coming back. He's having fun. I'm having fun. This is fun. This was fun tonight. Had a great show.
Yeah.
I thought anyway. And we're going to just... I have more stuff saved up for you guys. I got some best ofs in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, before I get into my whole plug thing, I want to thank everybody and wish everybody... I'll wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving when I throw the Thanksgiving episode up in a couple of weeks. But okay. But yeah, I got a couple things lined up. I got some things. A couple things. But yeah, man, we're going to be back on December 9th. I'll be on before that with The Rant. Choppy will be on probably too with Survivor Series. We're all going to be here. So, yeah, let's start the plugs, man. Let's start the...
Let's do it.
All right, let's play some Survivor Series music.
There it is.
There it is. There it is. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? There it is. All right, here we go.
Yep.
All right. So, of course, we're on a rant, rantemradio.com. Tomorrow night, Will Morgan with the Wrestling Call-In Show. Tuesday, Double A and Tony C with the Rant. Wednesday, Thumbstick Ninjas. Thursday, Rant Wrestling. And Friday, you get a Best of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Throwback from the way back, episode 3, I think this will be.
Yeah.
I think this is the Tank episode. I have to check my list. One of them is with Tank. What else we got going on? Survivor Series coverage, obviously, next week. Oh, I'm sorry, Surfer. What are you reading? Comic book show on Sunday. I forgot about that. Sorry, Surfer. Survivor Series coverage next week. Very cool. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We got the Nigel McGuinness thing going on over there. We got Inconclusive Breakdown. We have Strange Man in Southern Land. That guy. The Scout dude. Check him out. Neckbreaker Podcast, new stuff this week. Good stuff from them.
Yep.
You know, great stuff all around. Support those guys. Go on TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. Support all of our stuff that we got going on. Post-match podcast, those guys, Geeks in the Industry, Scott and the Talk Brunch guys, support them. Bunch of others, all the shows that are connected, Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, all the guys that are on there, Broad Street Breakdown, support all those guys, Midnight Jury, shout out to them. Bunch of stuff going on, man. T-shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. We have 4 shirts going on there for your holiday season shopping.
Buy the shirts.
Be a mark, buy the shirt. I'm buying a Japanese one. I want to buy the Japanese one. I don't have that one yet. With the New Japan logo we have on there. Get that one.
Get it.
That's fresh. What else we got going on? That's pretty much it, man. That's pretty much it for us. So, Choppy, again, thank you for hanging out with us, man.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so on behalf of my Portuguese man of war, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu. Reminding you all, keep, you know, take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word. Be kind to your mother. And just fucking be nice to people.
Be nice.
Yeah, you savages. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night.